So the session will be in English. So if you need translation, please go to the back. And if it's any consolation, those who speak English as a first language find it often very difficult to understand the language of the Dharma, because some of the things being spoken about are rather complex. So again, a reminder about the form, inner and outer listening, really deep listening. Listening to all that arises in the heart and mind as a response to what is occurring. And you are also a participant in the inquiry because you are here and listening. So I thank you for that. The invitation is for one of you to come with a question, an important question, a meaningful question, a question that's perhaps arisen over the past few days, or it may be a question you have about the Dharma, or a question you have about life. At any time you may say thank you and leave. At any time I may say thank you, and that also brings the inquiry to a close. But most often it comes to its natural end. The inquiries are also being recorded. So if you don't wish for it to be recorded, please just tell us and I'll turn it off. Yes. Hi, you're coming with an inquiry. Yes, do come.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So cuddle up.
It is Sheila sharing. Natali, if you're a sikhot in the meditation, it was a regashot nimim ולא נימים שעולים לי. ואני הבנתי שעולה בי רגש לא נעים, יש ישר את הסלידה ממנו, את הדחייה ממנו, כל אירוע לא נעים ישר יש את הדחייה. עכשיו אני מרגיש שאני לא יכול הרבה לעשות משהו בעניין, אלא משהו בי, תודעה שלי, הפנימיות, צריכה להבין משהו, או צריך לקרות משהו שלא תהיה דחייה, אלא שיהיה סוג של חיבוק או קבלה של הדבר. כאילו אני מרגיש שאני לא יכול לעשות כלום. וזה פתאום תוקף אותי ומטביע אותי.
Well described. Very well described. So this is the process we experience when we feel aversion to an inner thought, emotion, a belief, or a contact through the sense doors. So, is there a way of being steady with the aversion so that you don't feel you are drowning in it?
זה קורה שיש לי תדר או אנרגיה גבוהה. אבל בדיילי, ביומיום, זה מטביע.
Could you say that again for me? But usually not. Okay. So when the attention is keen and fine and present, you see the aversion. What arises in connection to it or dependent upon it? What is the next step once we feel this feeling of aversion?
Kaas.
Ah. Okay.
Basa. She is the devil of the Bichlal.
Bummer.
Okay. Alright.
Lama ze tzrich liyot Bichlal? Devil kaze.
Okay, so there's immediately the thought, why do I have to feel like that? So, there's several things happening here very quickly. The first is the I. Where is the I landing and clinging and gripping? So you feel this feeling of aversion, and there's the thought, bummer, I don't want this. So where is the I? What's happening? What's happening? Exactly what's happening?
כאילו החיים יותר חזקים מהם.
Ah, this is a conclusion. No, long before that. Again, the sense of I'll help you a little, is landing on I don't like this feeling, for example. Can you give me a situation? It's always easier to work with the actual situation. An example.
Ish balagan b'bayit im hayiladim.
Yes?
Mess.
Ah. Yes? There's a mess.
Pogim echad v'sheni.
Ah. Okay. So the children start fighting. And one hurts the other. And what do? Sounds like you might join in.
הרבה פעמים קורה כמו שאני יושב ויושב עכשיו, חסר אונים מזה. אני לא מבין את זה.
Okay, so part of you feels helpless. What else?
אני כועס על המצב הזה שזה...
And immediately there's anger. Almost immediately. The step before is just what you've described. There's contact through the sense doors. Then you see or know for yourself the unpleasant feeling. We don't want the unpleasant feeling, so there's aversion. We don't like it. And then there's the desire. So what's the desire that's dependent upon or connected to the aversion? What's your desire?
Harmony.
The desire is, I want harmony. Hey, is this not one of our major desires? We want harmony, yet it seems that many things that occur are disturbing it. This is the world of appearances. We see it like this. Okay, so the desire arises. I want harmony. Then what? How do you get from I want harmony to anger?
זה לא קורה, אז יש סיסה פנימית.
Fermentation.
Discool.
Yeah, so there's this frustration, there's this surge of energy that runs through the body based on the belief that there really should be harmony in this life. And my children should be peace-loving individuals.
Like
the father. Who is angry.
All the children, all the family.
Like all the kids of all his friends.
Yeah, oh yes.
Outside.
So we look at other people's children and think, oh, they're so beautiful and they don't fight. It's just mine. Okay, so the identity rests and lands and clings to the role of father. I am the father, and I need to sort this out. I need to do something about it. I need to resolve it.
זה יותר גרוע, כי אני מזדהה עם הקטן שנפגע.
Oh!
Fire for that.
Yes. So then, I have strong feelings for the small one, and then you're angry with the bigger one. And what do you want to do?
Struggle.
Yes! You want to strangle and you want to fight. So, the cool, calm, collected meditator wants to strangle his own child suddenly. The one who wants harmony and thinks there should be harmony everywhere is suddenly a tyrant. And I'm laughing so much because I know this for myself. I came back from India with so many years or months of meditation, sitting, and then I had twins. So of course, I found myself in the same position. How do I stop this baby from crying because he's driving me mad? And so on. So, it's a very natural reaction, but we have to see the process, don't we? Because whatever we're caught in our own rush of anger, what we're modeling to the child is this is how you deal with things. You get angry and you fight. Or you protect yourself or defend yourself or you hit the other. Okay. So, what's the way out? Any clues?
אני לא מצליח להבין אפילו איך קורה המצב שדיברנו פה, שפשוט זה חלק מהחיים, לא נעים וכן נעים. זה פשוט חלק מהחיים, כאב, יופי, אני לא מצליח להבין איך זה... לא מצליח לי, זה עבודה. אני לא יכול להבין איך אני מקבל את זה במצב שווה נפש.
So it seems to you that this process is very naturally occurring. It is. However, life unfolds rather freely. Life unfolds rather freely until the I, with its clinging, puts itself in the picture. Okay? So, we identify, I'm the parent. There's a belief, my children shouldn't fight. There's another belief, other people's children are better than mine. Any other beliefs associated with this issue?
שיהיה כיף במשפחה, יותר הרמוניה במשפחה.
Yes, the family should be more peaceful. Okay. So there are many beliefs that contribute to the situation. So, first of all, let me describe again the unfolding process. It is the process that we experience every day. We see, we hear, we smell, we taste, we touch, we think. So you see your children. One hits the other, for example. Immediately there's the sight, and there's the feeling of unpleasantness. I don't like it. At that point, there's the opportunity for equanimity to the feeling world. If there's no steadiness and equanimity at that point, the next step is desire. I want peace and I don't have it, so therefore I'm angry. And that all comes with the whole intensity of feeling that rushes through the body. We're all familiar with this. And our emotions form when the thoughts and beliefs are added to the initial feeling tone of the experience. This aversive reaction. Mm-hmm. Where in your body do you feel it? Imagine now you're watching your children. Where in your body do you feel the aversion?
Like a home.
Okay, so please just close your eyes right now and place your attention there. Very light, gentle, kind attention in that part of your body. Now, is there any thought that's connected with that area? A thought or belief?
אני חייב לסגור בשביל להגן על עצמי.
Yes.
כאילו לסגור את הלב בשביל לא לספוג את הכאב הזה.
So the thought is, I have to close my heart in order not to feel the pain. This is a powerful and painful thought. When your children are not fighting,
5% of the day.
5% of the day. And you look at the elder son.
Charming.
Ah, he's charming. What else?
Like me?
No, yes. 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 Mm. Yeah, so he's charming, he's sweet. You see yourself in him, so you also see the vulnerability. Do you think your son might be protecting his own heart too? Yet perhaps very unskillfully, in the only way he knows.
Mm-hmm.
So what can you teach him? You know he is a beautiful young boy. You know that really deeply. Yet you see his lashing out and being violent to his younger brother. You see that he is trying to protect himself. Trying to be superior.
אני צריך להיות במקום יותר גבוה עם עצמי בשביל לראות אותו בחמלה.
Yes.
אבל לא תמיד אני ביום יום במצב הזה.
No. But this is our job as a parent. It's to respond not through our own conditioning to barricade our heart. We're not asked to respond through our own fear, but rather through love. When we're fearful, we barricade our heart. We are asked as a parent to be wise and loving. This is the role. It's a very hard role. So, when you really see your son is charming and sweet, is your heart barricaded?
Castle?
No, no, no. What would it take to drop the barrier?
To see him like this.
Yes. To see his fragility. To see that he too is vulnerable. to see that his defensive actions come from hurt or fear of hurt, and to help him see. So if you act from fear, your heart will be barricaded, and you'll be irritated, angry, annoyed, and feel like you're not being a good parent. If you act from love, what will happen? If you let love inform your actions, what will happen?
Of course, the opposite.
Yes.
But.
Mm-hmm. I knew there'd be a but. Mm-hmm. But.
השאלה שלי הייתה, אני, לפי מה שאת אומרת, אני יכול להתחיל להבין שאם אני אקבל שיש מצב לא נעים בחיים,
ואני... Sorry, can you stop? Can you tell me what you just did?
והכאב הוא חלק מהחיים, אני לא אסגור את הלב, ואז אני אפעל מאהבה.
Yes.
זה התחילת השאלה.
You have just understood it. This is the beginning of the question.
לקבל מצב שהוא לא נעים בחיים, גם עם הכוח שלי או עם אשתי, לא חשוב. מצב לא נעים. יש כאב ואני לא דוחה, אז הלב נשאר פתוח. לזה התכוון.
When your heart stays open, can your heart embrace the pain?
תיאורטית כן, אבל אני לא מבין
את זה. תיאורטית?
אני לא מבין איך זה קורה.
Never mind, but if our heart has the capacity to embrace all pain, then we can deal with any situation that arises with our children, our partners, our friends, without withdrawing, without contracting, without shutting down.
המקור של זה לא להבין שכאב זה חלק מהסיפור ואז אני לא סוגר.
Pain is part of life. And we don't live our whole life with our heart wide open. However, if our life is compelled and fueled and centered around our pain, then the whole of our life will become painful. But our goal is not for the whole of our life to be painful, but to be steady in the face of attraction and aversion. The things we want and the things we want to avoid. To have the wisdom to be steady in the face of that. So then our actions are not compelled by desire. If our actions are compelled by desire, then we're just thrown about. In consciousness. Our consciousness is thrown everywhere. Here and there. It's distressing. So. It's difficult, a little difficult for me with the translation. Can you speak in English? A little?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. say to me again the core of the difficulty.
Understand that something I need to understand in my heart, something that accepts the situation. Let's say between the kids or another difficult in my life. Immediately there is a version. Immediately.
Mm-hmm. But then you can see the situation as it is. You can see you have aversion. You can be really steady right then. Because otherwise, your actions won't be wise. They'll be fueled by anger and desire and all of these things we spoke about. What I'm asking you to do is really something quite difficult. It's to see how life unfolds rather freely. It's dependently arisen. There's contact, depending on that, there's feeling. Attraction, aversion, dependent on that, desire. Dependent on that, clinging. Dependent on that, becoming. This process goes on and on and on. The only peace is to be found when we are no longer hooked into that cycle where we see something we don't like and then we're swept along by our anger, our aversion, our emotional world. The antidote is equanimity or steadiness. The other way to deal with the situation is to unbarricade your heart and begin from a place of love rather than a place of contraction and fear. What's your response?
Immediately I understand the power that I need to stop.
Yes.
In the point that there is a situation and very fast the aversion to stop there.
Yes.
I understand the power that I need in this moment.
Yes. Wonderful, beautiful. Mm-hmm. If you understand that, it's life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you can live with peace rather than the angry reaction, mm-hmm. Which your sons will copy. So you can show the way to peace by being steady with the feeling world. Right there.
Mm-hmm.
Then you are living with a heart of peace. And from that, you will know what to do and say with your children.
My heart open.
Yes. Of course. Of course. With your heart open, what will you say?
I hug both.
Ah. Instead of taking sides, I hug both. And say what?
למה אתם אוהבים כל הזמן?
Why do
you find
all this time?
Yeah.
With love.
Yes. So you hug both and speak to them with love. And please email me to say what happens. I'm very curious. I'm very keen to know. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, anybody? We have time for one more. Yes, come.
I have a question one step before what he was asking.
Louder, please. She said she has a question one step before this.
When I meditate, either sitting or walking, and I have a thought coming, present or unpresent, I immediately, you know, tell it to go away and concentrate on the breathing, on the walking, whatever. So my question is, how am I supposed to handle those things that come up, even if they're good or they're bad? If I don't feel like I'm really facing them, I just tell them to go away.
What if you didn't tell them to go away? What happens then?
Then I don't feel like I'm meditating. I feel like I'm thinking, you know?
Okay. So, there's a view that's very common in meditation circles, and it is that meditation is without thought. Sometimes meditation can be without thought, but most often it's not. And thoughts come, as you've discovered. So is there a way of being with a thought that's rather free?
What do you mean?
I mean, could we be with a thought and it not be a problem?
Actually, I've never tried it before.
Okay. All right. So instead of telling thoughts to go away, what if you just see the thought, the arising of the thought, the passing of the thought, the ending of the thought?
I usually, when the thoughts come, I mean, it's thoughts that I have all the time before,
yes,
I started to meditate.
Thousands of them.
And I usually really don't know what to do with them.
What would an example be? Yes, I know. It gets a bit personal up here.
Just all kinds of negative thoughts about myself, about my life.
Okay. Could we just have one negative thought that you have about yourself as an example, please?
Like, I was really into yoga,
yes,
let's say, okay? And just one day, I just couldn't do it anymore. It's really...
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what to...
Okay, so... Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, stay with it. So you were doing yoga, then you couldn't anymore. And then what's the actual thought?
When I try to think about why it happened, I don't have an answer, mm-hmm. you know, and then I just start feeling sorry for myself and crying about it. And then I don't know what to do.
Okay. The tears are just your heart. Okay. Let's explore. You really wanted to do yoga. You tried.
I succeeded. You
were very good at it. And then what happened?
I don't know.
I don't know. I really don't have an answer even for myself.
So one day you just said, enough, I don't want to do this.
No, one day I said, let's go and do yoga, and then it just didn't happen for me anymore, you know, like, when you meditate, you, like Sharon said yesterday, you're in the zone, so it was like that for me, also in the yoga, until one day I just couldn't get in the zone anymore.
Uh-huh. So what's your understanding of the meaning of yoga?
For me, it was like being very connected, you know, with the mind and the body.
Yes. And what else? In my understanding of yoga, yoga means union. But union of what?
Of the mind and the body.
Okay, that's the beginning.
Okay.
I'm asking you.
I guess if I knew the answer, then I would then I could continue.
Yes. Yes. What brought you to meditation?
I was looking for that feeling again. I was searching for that zone.
What is this zone? Can you describe for me what you mean?
The silence, the mental clarity.
Yes.
The understanding of yourself and your surroundings.
Yes. Is there some kind of longing of the heart that you experience?
Right now, when, before I came here?
I'm talking about the longing of the heart that took you to yoga. You didn't find quite what you were looking for, so now something has brought you to meditation. I'm hearing a deep longing. Please tell us about it. Don't be shy.
A longing for a deeper understanding?
Yes, beautiful. Yes. Longing for what else? What's your deepest longing?
To have something, you know, that I mean, it's not like something inside that you can...
I don't know how to say it.
You're doing very well. Use the microphone. To have something inside, you said.
To have something inside that's... like that you can always lean on it. And it doesn't have anything to do with anything on the outside.
Yes. Yes. Beautiful. This is the deep longing we have as human beings. The deep longing to find something on the inside that's there no matter what is occurring outwardly. This is our deep longing for peace, our longing for love. How else would you describe it?
I'm not sure.
No, you're doing very well. Please keep going. I'd love to hear it. So it's a deep longing to have something that you can know for yourself, no matter what is happening in the external world. It's a deep longing to know that which can't ever be lost or taken from you.
That's what I thought, but one day I was completely, you know, connected to myself, to everything. I had like, Gaia said it yesterday, that she's feeling, that she wants to feel like she's giving light. And I had, you know, a lot of those feelings, giving light, getting light. I don't know, just...
Okay. When we feel the positive feelings of life, the attractive things, the pleasant feelings, we love to give that, to radiate that, to be part of that. And when we see the positive, we want that. We want that in life. The more difficult things we don't want. Yet, actually our life involves feeling connected sometimes, and feeling very disconnected other times, doesn't it? So sometimes in the yoga you felt connected, and one day you felt disconnected. My question to you is there a way of living that has the capacity to embrace connection and disconnection?
I think that meditation can...
Oh, I know it can. But for you, what have you discovered? Because, do you understand what I'm saying? That disconnection is part of life. Is there anybody in the room who has never felt disconnected? From ourselves or from our loved ones, our society, our family. Yeah, of course. It's part of the human condition. We need to be able to live with disconnection. We need to be able to live in peace with the unpleasant.
How?
It is to discover within us that which isn't bound up to feeling great when we connected and terrible when we disconnected. When we hold to the view, I want to be connected all the time, will be disappointed. And this is the disappointment and heartbreak I see. So it takes some strength to be steady in the face of the good and the bad, the painful and the pleasant. Yeah, I said heartbreak, yes. Is there any part of your heart that can never be broken?
I don't know.
Okay. Please discover that.
My next mission.
Your next mission. That even if it's just a whisper right now, you are invited to see and know that which is unbreakable, cannot be broken. So well done for coming to meditation.
Thank you for teaching me how to meditate.
Meditation is to be steady in the face of all dualities, all the opposites. To be steady in the face of feeling connected or disconnected. To be steady with hope and disappointment.
It's all good.
Yes, there's, our heart can hold our pain. Can. Look, you just showed us. You're sitting here, crying, and smiling at the same time. So your heart can smile and sing and also weep. And this is part of who we are as human beings. And it's a very precious part. It's a beautiful quality. The tears aren't separate from our heart. The tears are our heart in the form of water. So our challenge is to find that which is steady with all things, all the conditions of the world. When the children fight, we can feel deep contentment. When the children are happy, we can feel deep contentment. We need to discover the place within us that's unwavering, unchanging, cannot be broken, is always there, can't be lost. And then with life, with all of its difficulties and pains and sorrows, with its joy, with its loss, can flood through us. And we can be rather freely with the whole of life. We can find a freedom that is freedom with those things that are easy to feel free with. And we can find a freedom in the face of those things that are more challenging. Let's just sit for a moment. May all beings everywhere live with a peace that cannot be shaken.